Translation: religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation are known as the four goals of life. But before love of Godhead, the fifth and highest goal, these appear as insignificant as straw in the street. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. While chanting the holy name of the Lord, one should not desire the material advancements represented by religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and ultimately liberation from the material world. As stated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the highest perfection in life is to develop one's love for Krishna. Prema Pumarto Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhor Matam Idam. Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. When we compare love of Godhead with religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, we can understand that these achievements may be desirable objectives for babukshus, or those who desire to enjoy this material world, and mumukshus, or those who desire liberation from it. But they are very insignificant in the eyes of a pure devotee who has developed bhav, the preliminary stage of love of Godhead. Dharma, religiosity, artha, economic development, kama, sense gratification, and moksha, liberation, are the four principles of religion that pertain to the material world. Therefore, in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is declared, dharmah prajita kaitavotra. Cheating religious systems in terms of these four material principles are completely disregarded from Srimad Bhagavatam. For Srimad Bhagavatam teaches only how to develop one's dormant love of God. The Bhagavad Gita is the preliminary study of Srimad Bhagavatam, and therefore it ends with the words, sarva dharman parichaja mame kang sharanang braja. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. To adopt this means, one should reject all ideas of religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, and fully engage in the service of the Lord, which is transcendental to these four principles. Love of Godhead is the original function of the spirit soul, and it is eternal as the soul and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This eternity is called Sanatana. When a devotee revives his loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it should be understood that he has been successful in achieving the desired goal of his life. At that time, everything is automatically done by the mercy of the Holy Name, and the devotee automatically advances in his spiritual progress. Krishna Vishayaka Prema Paramapurushartha Yara Agi Trinatulya Charipurushartha. Religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation are known as the four goals of life. But before love of Godhead, the fifth and highest goal, these appear as insignificant as straw in the street. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistang Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Sva Padanti Kam Vandi Guru Sri Yuta Sri Chitparakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathan Bhatang Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitangscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brinda Vanishwari Brishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Pancha Kalpa Tarupyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyaebacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasari Gaurabhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So with your permission, I'll try and say something relevant to today's verse and purport. The chapter we're dealing with describes how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered the Mayavadis. Actually, the Mayavadis were the last group who were to be delivered. It's said that even the Yavanas and the Malechas were delivered before the Mayavadis. Now, Mahaprabhu, he took sannyas, purpose being that he would gain respect, because in society, sannyas is respected. But even then, the Mayavadis, they did not give him sufficient respect, and they were actually criticizing him. Now, this pastime of how Mahaprabhu delivered the Mayavadis, it is also described in the 25th chapter of Madhya Lila. And, well, actually, he passed through Kashi on the way to Vrindavan, and this is described in the 17th chapter of Madhya Lila. And after being in Vrindavan, he came back and delivered them, and that is described in the 25th chapter. So there's a statement by Kaviraj Goswami that in the 25th chapter, he says, I've already described the deliverance of the Mayavadi sannyasis, so I won't repeat what I've said, but I will include other things which I have not spoken about. So in Madhya Lila, there are aspects to the pastime that are not discussed in the Adi Lila. And one thing I noticed was the amount of criticism that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was given by the Mayavadis is a lot more than what is presented in the 7th chapter. They were describing him as a pretender, as a sentimentalist, as a hypnotist, and as a magician. It's interesting. On one occasion, Prabhupada described Maharishi as he had this mystic city. There are 8 mystic cities. One of them is known as Vasita, which means you can control the mind of others. So he said, Maharishi, he has this. Therefore, whatever price he asks, you will pay that price for the mantra. And then he will go away. He said this. So the Mayavadis, they were thinking that this Mahaprabhu is a sentimentalist and he just has some control. He has a mystic power. He's like a hypnotist. And they said, but actually, he is not of very much interest to the people of Kashi, because they are staunch. They are fixed up in their jhan, in their meditation on the impersonal Brahman, and they are fixed up in their study of Vedanta. Therefore, we do not take him too seriously. But of course, as the pastime unfolds, there was one Maharashtrian Brahmana who had positive feelings towards Mahaprabhu, and he didn't like to hear the criticism, and he went and invited Mahaprabhu to his house, and he also invited the Mayavadi sannyasis, and it was then that they met, and that was also very pleasing to the associates Chandrasekhar Acharya and Tapana Mishra, who were also feeling the pain of hearing the criticism. Prabhupada says they were Kanishtha Adhikaris because they did not know how to defeat the Mayavadis. Interesting. Chandrasekhar Acharya is Uddhava in Krishna Lila. So there's something going on there. Anyway, what happened was they were charmed by Mahaprabhu. His effulgence was like the effulgence of Narayan, because he is Narayan. And he was very humble. He sat where the shoes were kept, accepting that he was of a lower order of sannyas. And through his charming personality, his beauty, his effulgence, and his lovely demeanor, he captured the hearts of the Mayavadis. So then they asked him, well, why are you engaging in sentimental activity? And they use the term bhavuka. Now, I've said this before, the term bhavuka, which to the Mayavadis means sentimentalist, to the devotees it has a scientific meaning. In the 3rd verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahuraho rasika bhuvi bhavukaha, the Srimad Bhagavatam is relished over and over again by those who are very expert in tasting rasa, who know the science of mellows, So bavukaha means one who is very expert. So we can actually, and Prabhupada wanted us to know in detail this science of rasa. Therefore, he presented one of the core books being Nectar of Devotion. So it is, I think it's one of the least read books in ISKCON. For a core book, Prabhupada, he gave the Bhagavad Gita, Nectar of Instruction, first canto Srimad Bhagavatam, and the Nectar of Devotion is very important books. But we tend to skip the Nectar of Devotion. Is that right? How many people, when was the last time someone read Nectar of Devotion? Anyone reading it just now? No one. Anyone reading Bhagavad Gita at the moment? You see, proved it. We have five people reading Bhagavad Gita and no one reading Nectar of Devotion. So, let us look at the symptoms. What were the symptoms Mahaprabhu was exhibiting? Actually, he describes his conversation with his guru. He explains to the Mayavadis, he says, I was given this Maha Mantra and I was chanting it, and then all these funny symptoms started happening. I started crying, laughing, dancing like a madman. So therefore he went to his guru and said, what has happened? My knowledge is being covered. And Ishwarapuri, he quoted a verse from the 11th canto. Ivambrata svapriya nama kircha jatanurago druta chitta uchai satchito roditi rauti gayatyun madhavan richite lokabhayaha. He said, when one chants the names of the Lord, then one dances, laughs, cries, sings, and becomes mad and doesn't care for public opinion. Now, this is the symptom of one who chants the Hare Krishna mantra. So if we look at these symptoms, now I'm going to test you here, and I don't think you're going to pass because this is quite technical, but I'll try you out anyway, because I was checking what these symptoms are, because they're all described in the Nectar of Devotion. So first of all, the ecstasies, they are categorized in four ways. There is the vibhav, which means the love that we feel for Krishna. That gives rise to subsequent ecstasies. Now the term for the subsequent ecstasies or subordinate ecstasies is anubhav. It means they follow on. They don't appear before the vibhav. And they are external expressions of what we are feeling. You can actually see them on the body. The activities, they indicate these ecstasies. Then there are the sattvika bhavs. And how many of them are there? Come on. Seven? Someone said seven. Eight, yes. Thank you, Prabhuji. Ashta sattvika bhavs. Actually, I was recently reading, there's a ninth one. In Vatsalya Ras, sometimes there's a bhav where the milk comes out of the mother's breast. That is considered sattvika. And so when we ask, what is the difference between a sattvika bhav and an anubhav? Anyone like to offer an explanation? I said I was going to be technical. Okay, it is explained as follows. The sattvika bhavs, they act directly on the prana and the heart. Whereas the anubhavs, they do not act directly on the prana. They act through the intelligence. So the intelligence is involved in the expression of the anubhavs, whereas the sattvika bhavs, they bypass the intelligence. That is the difference. Now, there's another type of bhav. We've discussed the vibhav, the anubhav, and the sattvika bhav. The fourth one is the vyabhichari bhav. So they are sometimes referred to as aggressive ecstasies or fleeting or temporary ecstasies. They come and go. The term sancharita, because vyabhichari and sancharita, they're synonyms, and the term sancharita means they move around. They move around the body, the mind, and the words. So what does this mean? Well, it's very technical. You have to go there to find out, I think. So these are the four categories, and they're described as nourishing and augmenting the underlying love that we have for Krishna, which is referred to as the Stai Bhav. The Stai Bhav has one of five moods. It is either Shantaras, Dasyaras, Sakyaras, Vatsalyaras, or Madhurya Ras. Though actually, sometimes there are also seven secondary rasas, which, such as Adbhuta, wonder, or Hasya, laughter, or Virya, which is chivalry. And these seven secondary rasas, they appear and they can disappear. And when they're present, they are also referred to as the Staibhav. Sometimes they replace the other Staibhav. So it's described as entities. We have one primary rasa which we associate Krishna with. We associate with Krishna through. But we may also have the other seven rasas. Therefore, we can have eight Staibhavs. But your eight might be different from my eight. See, I might have Shantaras plus the other seven. You may have Madhurya Ras plus the other seven. It's like this. Anyway, so going back to the symptoms that Mahaprabhu was exhibiting. So as I was explaining, the Mayavadis, they considered his exhibition to be sentimental. So for them, Bhavuka meant sentimental. They said, Vedanta Patana Jan E Sanyasira Dharma. Sannyasi should be studying Vedanta Sutra and meditating on the Supreme Brahman. So this Mahaprabhu, he is breaking Sannyas Dharma. So what were the symptoms he exhibited that made them think this? He was laughing. He says he was laughing. So what is laughter? Is it Sattvika Bhav? Is it Anubhav? Is it Vyabhichari Bhav? Laughter is considered Anubhav. Dancing is considered Anubhav. Being indifferent to public opinion, that is also Anubhav. Then there is madness. Madness is Vyabhichari Bhav. And crying, what is crying? Crying is also an Anubhav, but it's also a Sattvika Bhav. So I don't know which type of crying he was exhibiting. Who knows what the Ashtasattvika Bhavs are? As I was just saying, this is all described in the core material, Nectar of Devotion, which we neglect. So we have to learn these things. Anyone know? Anyone like to give a guess of one of them or two of them? Yes, question. Okay, the Sattvika Bhav bypasses the intelligence, so it acts directly on the life airs. Whereas the Anubhavs, the intelligence is involved. Can they hold back or not? Whether they hold back or not depends on the magnitude of the ecstasy. The ecstasy is described as smoking, blazing, and there's four categories. Udipta or Sudipta is the most. And when ecstasy is on that level, you cannot hide it. It's described, but on lower levels, then you can hide it to some extent. So I don't think it's connected. I mean, as I say, you have to go there to find out. I read the difference between the types, but to actually give you an insight into that, well, I'm unable to do so because I haven't been there. But just to say that one, the Anubhavs, they involve the intelligence. So both in the sense of the intelligence activates the Bhav, and also the Bhav acts through the intelligence. But as I say, read the books and go there and find out. Anyway, we're discussing Sattvika Bhavs. So there's eight of them. Oh, we're on questions again. It's fine, I don't mind.
Did you say bodily symptoms
or Anubhavs are bodily symptoms. Yes. So the definition of an Anubhav is it's a following on ecstasy, which is also visible, and Vyabhichari Bhavs are also visible. The Vibhav is what one is actually feeling. My understanding is that that's not visible. That's whatever rasa you're in with Krishna. And Sattvika Bhavs, they're also visible. So nearly all of them are visible. But these four, Vibhav, Anubhav, Sattvika Bhav, and Vyabhichari Bhav, they are the ingredients of rasa, and they are all visible. Though I'm not sure if all of them are visible. I mean, some of them are like, for example, you mentioned Vyabhichari Bhavs. Now, disappointment is one of them. Madness is one of them, yes. So which is visible. But disappointment is not visible. Well, it might be visible. Guilt. Depression. Laziness. They all sound like really bad things, right? We have to be careful. If you see a lazy person who's disappointed and morose, and then it might not mean what you think. Be careful. Anyway, we're trying to get to Sattvic Bhavs. There's 8 of them. Anyone like to offer? No one knows a single one. Prabhuji, thank you. Palpitations. No, that wasn't one of them. Okay, in the morning we sing the Gurvastika. We mentioned 3 of them. Romansha Kampashru Tarangabajo. So Romansha, what does that mean? For appellations. And Kampa, shaking, yes, trembling. Ashru, crying, yes, they are 3. Now there's also Sveda, which means sweating. You sweat through ecstasy. There's Svarabhanga, also known as Gadgada, which means choking of the voice. Stamba, stunned. When Vishakha was giving class here, well, she was giving a joint class with Ramadevi and Mother Kalangana, and she was explaining how she was taking pictures of Srila Prabhupada, and then there was one moment she really wanted to take a picture, but then her body wouldn't move. She said this. And she said, I decided that in future I would not let this happen. So I'm wondering, what is this? She became stunned with ecstasy. It's amazing. So that's, we're on to, we've done 6 of them. The other 2 are Vaivarnya, which means one becomes pale. And the final one is Pralaya. Now Pralaya means it's fainting or death-like ecstasy, unconsciousness, which Mahaprabhu also exhibited in the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Going back to the Vyabhichari Bhavs, one of them is death. It's not mentioned as fainting, it's actually called death. I presume that that's what it means, you leave your body through ecstasy. Anyway, so these are the symptoms. So Mahaprabhu, when he was crying in Varanasi, then that was Sattvic Bhav or Anubhav. But the Mayavadis, they could not understand this. So these are some considerations that when we study this scripture, you know, we can tie it in with the science, the rasa, because it's very important. Now today's, particularly, let's go to today's verse. So for me, the main message in the purport is this statement, Dharma Projita Kaitavotra, giving up the cheating religion. So this is, in essence, this is the essence of our philosophy. We don't call ourselves a religion as such. We say we are a science. Prabhupada, he quoted this many times in lectures, Dharma Projita Kaitavotra. And sometimes he would say, there is no such thing as Hindu religion, Muslim religion, Christian religion. As soon as you designate, then that is cheating. He said this. Now, we should understand there's another aspect to this. Sometimes he would say, Dharma Projita Kaitavotra, it means it does not matter which religion you practice. You can practice Hinduism, Mohammedanism, or you can practice Christianity. He would say like this. The point he was making is you must pass the test. He said it's scientific, therefore, whatever religion you practice does not matter, but you must pass the test. So what does he mean? What test does he mean? What do you think he's meaning when he says this? Helps you develop love of God. So how do you know that you're developing love of God? There are symptoms. Okay, in the 11th canto, there are 3 symptoms which are said to automatically manifest in someone who surrenders. Bhakti Prashanu Bhavo Viraktir. First one is bhakti. Do you have devotion? So it does not matter if someone is practicing Christianity and they have devotion, then you must accept. Shishiradago Kulanandakija. Yeah, if someone's practicing another religion, if they have devotion. Next one is Pareshanubhav, if they have realization of God. And Virakti, if they have detachment. If these are manifest, then you must accept. And if you don't, then you're envious. On one occasion, Prabhupada said, he said, if you think my religion is better than your religion, then this is Matsarata, which means envy. We shouldn't say this. So he gave the example. He said, you know, if you think Hinduism is better than Mohammedanism, of course, we use the term Islam now. Muslims don't like the term Mohammedanism, right? Because it sounds like they're worshipping a person. So they say, our religion is not named after a person. We don't say Christianity. We're not named after Christ. Right? So Islam means surrender. And a Muslim is one who surrenders. Yes. The three symptoms. Okay. Bhakti. Devotion. Paresh Anubhav. Realization of the Supreme. And Virakti. Detachment. They automatically happen. It's Bhakti Paresh Anubhavo Viraktir. Sarvatra Chaisha Trika Eka Kalaha Prapadya Manasya Yatashnatashuh Tushtih Pushtik Shudapayo Nukasam. Just as when we eat, automatically three things happen. We are satisfied, we become nourished, and our hunger is alleviated. In the same way, when we surrender to Krishna, three things happen. We develop devotion, we get realization of the Supreme, and we become detached. So, we were discussing Nirmatsarata. The Bhagavatam begins with a statement, Dharma Projitakaitavotra Nirmatsaratam Satamvejam. It is knowable by those who are Nirmatsarata, those who are free from envy. So if you're saying your religion is better than another religion, then that is Matsarata. It is enviousness. So this is the danger, because we look into our heart and we have this feeling, my religion is better than yours. Now there's a scientific aspect here as well. Of course, that religion which goes beyond designations, that is beyond cheating religion, yes, that is the highest. And what does Kaviraj Goswami mean by cheating? There's one verse, he says, Agyana tamera nam kohayi kaitava dharma artha kama moksha vancha sabha adi. No, vancha adi sabha. He says, what is known as ignorance, I call kaitava, I call cheating. And it begins with dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. So those, the purusharthas, actually the chari purushartha, they are all described as cheating, and they are all described as ignorance. This is a very strong statement. That's why I like Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he says it as it is. He rejects it out. He rejects it completely. He says it's all ignorance. So you want moksha. That is ignorance. Now, when Lord Brahma offers his prayers to Krishna, there's one statement he makes. He says, Agyana samgyo bhava bandha moksha. That bondage and liberation is simply ignorance. The very concept is ignorance. So we're meant to become Paramahansas. We go beyond this material world and we no longer consider bondage and liberation. We're not even on that platform. It's all ignorance. So he compares it to night and day from the perspective of the sun. So from the point of view of the sun, where is the question of night and day? It is insignificant. So when one has prema, and that person sees bondage and liberation as completely insignificant. Let me give one example. Chitraketu Maharaj, when he was cursed by Parvati, he was very gracious. He graciously received the curse as a blessing, which surprised Parvati. So at that time, Lord Shiva, he then said, Narayana parasarve nakutas janabibhyate svargapavarga narakesh apito yata darshanam. That for one who is a devotee of Lord Narayan, then for such a person, heavenly planets and hell are the same. Arta darshana, one sees with equal vision. Samadarshana, one should see with equal vision. So Prabhupada, he made this point, we should be samadarshanaha. We see with equal vision, and that means that we love all religions. One time Prabhupada, he was begging, and he was talking to an Islamic audience, and he was begging them, please chant the names of Allah. And it was from the heart. He wasn't trying to say, oh, our religion's better than yours. He actually felt from the heart, because this is Yuga Dharma. If you study what is the Yuga Dharma on the folio, you will find that it is not restricted to the Hare Krishna mantra. The Yuga Dharma means chanting the names of the Lord. And there's one verse in the 11th canto where the term Loki is used, which means in this world. And the Acharyas point out, we should chant the names of the Lord that we find in this world. So what they mean is, if you're in a country and they have a certain name of the Lord, then you can chant that name. And if you chant that name purely, then that is Sanatan Dharma. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this. He says, pure religion is not restricted to any particular scripture. No, it's not restricted to any language. We deal with the Sanskrit language. But he says, if you find pure religion in another tradition with other words, then you should accept. You must realize that is pure. If the intention is pure, you must accept that it's pure. He also said it is namaparad to consider the names of the Lord from other traditions to be material. So if you consider Allah to be a material sound vibration, that is namaparad. Therefore, your spiritual advancement will be curtailed. So the broad vision is there, but this is because Dharma Projita Kaitavotra. We give up the cheating religion, but we accept the essence. The essence is is there. Therefore, that is why, although Prabhupada often said, we kick out cheating religion, and he said, one time he was saying, Hinduism, Islam, Christianity, third class cheating religion. I was listening to a lecture, he said this. But we should understand, he also accepted the essence of those. He's referring to the cheating aspect of the religion. Now we as Vaishnavas, we make the bold claim. We say we have given up all the cheating aspect. Therefore, Dharma Prajitakaitavotra means we have given all the cheating aspect up. And the Bhagavatam, it begins from this point. Therefore, we make the statement, Bhagavatam is non-sectarian. It is really for everyone. Everyone can benefit from the Bhagavatam. Now, in the biography, the autobiography of Radhanath Swami, he gives one interesting pastime. He had a Hindu friend, and this friend used to discuss the scriptures with a Muslim friend. So he asked, how is this? You are from different traditions, but you're relishing your scriptures together. And the reply was, the dog understands or recognizes his master, even if his master changes dress. Therefore, if we cannot recognize God in the dress of another scripture, then we are lower than the dog. He said this. So this is our, you know, we should come to this platform, non-sectarianism. So as I mentioned, because the Bhagavatam, it begins with the statement, Dharma Prajita Kaitavatra. It means the Bhagavatam throughout discusses this point. Before I'm going to ask you to give me some examples, but before I do so, let us analyze the word Prajita. What does it mean? See, when we study verses, we should learn the meaning of each word. Kicked out, yes, means to kick out. So we can break this word down into pra and ujita. So what does pra and ujita mean? What's the difference between ujita, kicking out, and pra ujita? So it has a different meaning. This is something that Sridhar Swami has commentated on. And, okay, I will tell you. It's also discussed in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yes. Yes. you break it down so there's no way of putting it back together. Okay, you are partially correct. Prabhupada would often discuss this word pra. Now, he used a little Sanskrit phrase. He said, prakrishta rupena. This means pra. Now, prakrishta means excessive. It means something, it adds strength to the word. And he used this term in connection with a lot of words. For example, pralad, he would say, prakrishta rupena khlada. So khlad means ananda, or bliss. But pralad means complete bliss. Or nipat means to fall down. Pranipat means complete submission. So it's the same with ujjita. Ujjita means to kick out. But pra-ujjita means to completely kick out. And to completely kick out means, there's a Bengali verse that explains what it means. It's pra-shabde moksha-vansha kaitavo-pradhan. That pra-shabda, the pra in pra-ujjita means moksha-vansha kaitavo-pradhan. It means that the desire for liberation is the greatest type of cheating. Now, Rupa Goswami has said, bhukti mukti spriha yavat pishachi hridi vartate, that the desire for liberation and sense enjoyment is a witch that resides in our heart. So we have to get rid of this witch, because bhakti will not arise unless we get rid of this witch. Narottam Das Thakur, he says, gyanakand karmakand kevala vishera bhanda. The gyanakand process, which is aiming at liberation, and the karmakam process, which is aiming at material enjoyment, they are like pots of poison. So the acharyas cannot speak more emphatically on this point. And if we get that right, if we're actually able to kick it out, then bhakti will arise. If we're wondering why we do not experience bhakti within the heart, it's because so long as that witch is residing there, bhakti will not arise. So the acharyas are very strong on this point. So, now the Srimad Bhagavatam, as I mentioned, it is full of examples of giving up dharma and accepting Sanatan Dharma. Now, before we go into them, let's give some examples, other words, other synonyms for Sanatan Dharma. Now, Prabhupada, he uses the term Sanatan in the purport. He doesn't say Sanatan Dharma, but it's clear that he's indicating that by giving up the cheating religion, we're accepting a Sanatan or eternal religion, which means Sanatan Dharma. So can anyone think of another term that means Sanatan Dharma? Krishna consciousness. I will accept that one. It wasn't what I was thinking of, but yeah. There are five or six I can think of, so I'm not going to let you get away with this. Sad Dharma. Yes, that's a good example. Sad Dharma. Pardon? Jiva Dharma, that's a very good one. I was thinking of this one. Because the word jiva means living entity, actually means marginal living entity. So the Jiva Dharma means it's for all conscious beings. If you have consciousness, then this is for you, this Dharma. In other words, it's non-sectarian. So Jiva Dharma is correct. But actually, it's not only for jivas, it's for Shakti Tattva as well. Radharani follows Jiva Dharma, so that's another story. Yes. Nitya Dharma, yes. Now this is, I think you're getting this from the same book, right? Nitya Dharma, eternal, yes. Any other examples? Para Dharma, Savaipumsham Paro Dharma. Shuddha Bhakti, I was thinking of this one. So I checked the folio and I found Bhakti Yoga as synonymous with Sanatan Dharma, which leads to Shuddha Bhakti, Kevala Bhakti, yeah, Ananya Bhakti. So Ananya, it's used in the Bhagavad Gita, Ananya Bhakti, meaning we just take away all the Anyabhilashita Shunya Bhakti. We have all these examples, right? We get the point. We're talking something pure, something that's inspiring. If we dilute our own practice, then we become uninspired. But if we go for the real thing, as it's called, the Nivritti Marg, we give up all material aspects, then we become very inspired. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, who can give me an example of Dharma being given up in favor of Sanatan Dharma? Almost every canto has an example, a pastime. The gopis, yes. Can you explain further?
They gave up, they left their family, their household duties to run Krishna.
Okay, so a mother's duty is to feed your child, right? So they left their children, they were breastfeeding their children, and they immediately left. The duty of the wife is to be faithful to the husband. They gave up that chastity in order to be with Krishna. Uddhava glorifies this. Yadushta jas vajanam aryapatam chahitva bejur makunda padavim shudibir vimirgyam. That he's glorifying that they gave up the aryapat, which means the path of chastity. That's how it's translated. They gave up their dharma in order to be with Krishna. So this is what makes them glorious. And svajana, they gave up their attachments to their relatives. So this is why the gopis are glorified. They gave up dharma for Sanatan Dharma or Bhakti Yoga. Any other examples? Kardama Muni, can you explain further? Okay. Okay, so it's a general principle of sannyas, yeah? Now, one may argue, but sannyas is found within the Varnashram system. So...
it's because it says that he takes sannyas, but he very quickly progresses to the level.
Yes, so, okay. So, the renunciation that goes beyond Varnashram, sannyas, is an example of giving up dharma for Sanatan Dharma. And I think there are probably many other examples of... Kardama Muni is one example. Thank you. King Priyavrata. Okay. King Priyavrata was instructed to follow Daivi Varnashram. I can think of another many, many examples. You've only given one that I was thinking of, the gopis. Okay, think of the pastimes from the seventh canto. Can you think of an example of giving up dharma for Sanatan Dharma? Okay, and this is, Prabhupada gives this example. He refers to how Prahlad Maharaj, he took pleasure in watching his father get killed by Lord Nrsingadev. So the duty of the son is to protect the father, but he was operating on a higher platform. And when he was offering prayers to Lord Nrsingadev, he was discussing those who approach the Lord and ask for some material benediction. And he says, Nasa vritcha savaivanik. He says, they are not servants, they are merchants. If you approach the Lord for material gain, you're a merchant. Naturally, when Krishna was discussing with the gopis didn't know why Krishna had left them. So they were asking, what type of lover are you? And one of the answers they offered was, are you a merchant? Sorry, you're a merchant. You reciprocate to those that reciprocate and you ignore those that ignore. And they said, no, you can't be like that because you act in such a way as to increase our love. So you're not a merchant. But this... I'm not actually sure if they use the term merchant, but in Krishna's reply, he says they are merchants and they are the worst type of lover. There's another type, just the Atmarama, someone who does not reciprocate, someone may just completely ignore you in loving dealings. And Krishna says they're not as bad as the merchant. So the merchant is the worst. So we have Prahlad Maharaj. He's another example of giving up Kaitava Dharma and accepting Sanatan Dharma. For his father, because he's compassionate to everyone. He didn't ask for liberation for himself, but he asked for liberation for everyone. Now that he said, let me get the verse now. It's Kripanan na vihaya na mamuksha eko. Etan vihaya kripanan na mamuksha eko. He says, I do not want liberation alone. I want you to help everyone, the Kripanas, all the fallen people in this world. I want you to consider their well-being. I'm not interested in my own. And he says, Prayena deva munaya svava mukti kama Janan Vahaya Vichani. Say again. Manam Chiranti Vijane Nas Pararta Nishta. He says, generally speaking, Munis, they desire only their own liberation and they do not care for others. They live in a silent place on their, trying to work on their own spiritual practice. But Itan Vahaya Kripananda Mamuksha Eko Nanyad Tvadasta Sharanam Brahmatonu Pashi. He says, but Lord Nrsingadev, I do not care for my own liberation. I want you to deliver everyone. In fact, other than you, I see no other shelter. So the very mood of Prahlad Maharaj, which makes him glorious, that he didn't care. He just didn't care about himself. And Srila Prabhupada, he left Vrindavan because he didn't care. He just cared for other people. And then he wanted to come and give Krishna consciousness to everyone. So there's Prahlad Maharaj.
Just one comment on the other point, if you don't mind.
Yes.
You said Haridam is the Yuga Dharma.
Yes.
And also in the last verse of Shrimad, it says the holy name is for all dharmas.
For what?
For all dharmas, not for anybody.
Okay.
The last verse of
was it Nama Sankirtanam Yasya? I don't think it's mentioned for all time in that particular. I mean, the process, the ninefold processes of devotional service are all eternal, so it is for all time. But that particular verse, it's just glorifying the Nam Sankirtan. It's not saying it's for all time. It's just Nama Sankirtanam Yasya. Who knows the next line? No, we're talking here about the very, very last verse of the 12th canto. Yasya Sankirtanam Yasya. Sarva Papa Pranashanam. Anyway, it destroys all sin. The last line is Tam Namami Harim Param. I offer my obeisances to Lord Hari. It's interesting that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the last phrase is very similar to the first phrase. The first phrase, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, offering obeisances to Vasudev Krishna. And the last phrase, Tam Namami Harim Param, I offer my obeisances to Lord Hari. So it begins as it ends. It ends as it begins. Anyway, we're on to questions now, Karen.